A lot's going on in the world today. I don't need to tell you that. You're keenly aware of it. But boy, if there is ever a time in which Christians need to be standing for the truth, it is the day in which we live. We cannot afford to be silent any longer, prayerless any longer. There's so many different ways. I don't think I'm here to instruct you on what to do, other than, first of all, start with bold praying. Then if God leads you to do some writing to some of our officials, then I think that certainly is in order as well. How many of you have heard of the city Nineveh? Let me see your hands. Okay. What child can tell me what Old Testament biblical character relates to Nineveh? Did I hear a child's voice or an adult voice? Okay, Jonah. Jonah had his challenges, didn't he? But the reason I bring that up, I was doing a little bit of research and looking at it, and we're hearing a lot today about Iraq and Mosul and all that's going on there and punishing the Christians. Well, you need to know that in the 8th century B.C., Nineveh was the capital of the great Assyrian Empire. It's 280 miles north of Babylon. But also, it was just right across the Tigris River from the city that we're hearing about all the time today and the persecution of Christians. Parents, go home and show your kids on the map where these towns are. We have done a great deal of archaeological work in Nineveh and found all kinds of libraries of some of the former kings back in the 8th century and in that period of time. Just some amazing things. But the tragedy of our day, where Christianity has been present for thousands of years as far as faith in God, and so many of these things are being destroyed today. So I just want to open by encouraging you, not just on Sunday, but would you daily, as you spend time with family, as you pray together, whatever format you have around the table, our devotions at night, morning, would you include your brothers and sisters in Christ in the Middle East, in Africa, so many areas in which they are literally losing their life because of their stand for the gospel. Well, as we look this morning, take your Bibles. I trust you brought them. You brought them. Open them, please. Hate to just see you bring Bibles and lay them around and do nothing with them. Open them to John, the 8th chapter. Truth is so vital to what we're about. As I thought about our students going back to school, and my prayer is that God will give you a teachable spirit this year, but you'll also be discerning when it comes to truth. Notice what Romans 1:25 says, "For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Students, your academic programs will be very important this year. But please, please do not lay aside your Bible and your biblical studies all for academics only. Understand how important it is that you are a student of God's Word, that truth can be realized in your life. It can be applied as you talk with your teachers, as you relate to other students. You're going to run into some tough personalities this year. Some of them will be bullies. Some of them will be very passive. Some of them will not believe in Jesus at all. They've never been exposed to the Bible in their whole life. You'll go to school with boys and girls who don't even have a Bible in their home. And so your witness is very, very important. The way you talk, the way you conduct yourselves, the way you respond, may God use you boldly. But know that you're never, ever alone. Number one, Jesus is always with you. Number two, make sure you keep clear, open lines of communication with your parents, with your teachers, and even with your church leaders, so that together we can pray for you and see God do great and mighty things. Well, looking at the book of John, the 8th chapter, as we look at the word belief here and faith and those issues, it's interesting that out of all the Gospels, John is the only one that really surfaces with these very important matters. And this morning I just want us to look at verses 30. I'm going to go back to verse 30, and you can read all the way through verse 36. If you do like I did the other day, I referenced the passage and I started reading and I couldn't stop reading. I just kept on reading verse after verse after verse and chapter after chapter. And wow, God, this is your word and it's so rich. And we often lay it aside thinking that it's not of great value. Well, in verse 30, and he spoke, meaning Jesus, these things, many came to believe in him. How many of your Bibles have "in him" there? Okay, quite a few of you do. All right, now we're going to go to verse 31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him. Now, here's where we're going to transition. And I'm reading from the New American Standard, and that's the translation there. The New English Bible and the New International Version has it correct. I love King James. I was raised on it, but King James added a preposition that is incorrect and misleads us. Not a major issue here, but John is trying to distinguish between the true believer and the one who knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and the nominal believer or inferior believer. So I went to the Greek this morning just to look to see if that preposition was in there in verse 31. It is not. The prepositions here, there's a big difference. Believe in him versus believe him. That preposition adds a great deal. And what it does, it makes it personalized that if I believe in him, then wow, he is my personal Lord and Savior. And I can rejoice in my salvation in Christ. But the religious leaders that Jesus was speaking to here, they just had a, they kind of picked and chose different things that they would believe in. They could say to Jesus' teachings, amen, I agree with you, Jesus. You're saying some great things. But they had not come to the point of realizing they were a sinner in need of salvation. So when we talk about faith here, we're talking about faith in its fullest sense. It's an energetic faith in a person, that person being the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12 ought to be underlined in your Bible, that there's salvation in no one else other than the person of Jesus. The Lord immediately warns an essential proof of faith is necessary. Now, we get real sloppy with our faith and think that I can just live however I want to live. I don't know how many of you, let's just survey. How many of you grew up in a Christian home? Let me just see your hands. Quite a few of you did. Okay, a number of you did not. Praise the Lord that he's given you the opportunity to start a Christian home environment and faith, and now you can pass it down to the generations to come. But how important it is that what he's saying here, listen, the key issue is you, is me. When you read it, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. So we want to look just briefly here and understand what he's trying to do. If you look back at the apostles of Christ, remember there were 12 and one went by the wayside. Probably here is a good example of one who believed him and followed for a period of time, but he never came to believe in him, and Judas lost his way completely. So the school of discipline is a lifelong responsibility. We like short-term things, don't we, as human beings? A few of you are real good organizers and planners, and you love long-term things. But the vast majority of human beings, give me something short-term and I can handle it. That's the way we approach a lot of things in life. But planning and looking to the future, where are we going, where's our family going, where are our kids going, is very vital as we bring our lives up against the Word of God. So the disciples' responsibility must be regarded in threefold this morning, just briefly. First of all, continuance in the word of truth. If you abide in my word, is his statement very clearly there. The pronoun is you, is me. This is significant because the Lord Jesus was addressing leaders of the religious community, and in many cases they were just nominal in their belief. They did not possess a conviction or a courage about their belief. There are some things that you're not going to have answers for in your schooling this year, but don't let that discourage you, dishearten you. I appreciate Pastor Greg bringing to our church, God is not dead. And from an academic college perspective, I thought they did a great job of clarifying some of those issues. If you haven't seen it, please check it out at the library and show it to your family and friends. But how important it is that we understand that God's calling us to stand as boys and girls, teenagers, adults, with conviction and with courage, and that we look at it from a lifelong responsibility. There are three issues related to this: continuance in the truth as it is in Christ. And he said, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. The Jewish leaders were challenging him, saying, Abraham is our father. He's the one that we follow. And then they also set up a rule that said for a witness, you had to have two people. And Jesus was seeking to communicate to them, saying, listen, I am that witness, and I and the Father are one, so that's two, and you need to receive the truth that I'm proclaiming to you. There is no imperfection or untrustworthiness in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's totally trustworthy in every aspect. Continuance in the whole truth as it is in Christ. He says, abide in my word. There's nothing that rises above the scriptures. They are just filled with such great principles and teaching us how to live and how to respond to life. And maybe that response is not going to be realized immediately, but we're going to see the results when we remain faithful to the Word of God. Problem is that we don't want to just accept the whole truth. We're a generation for probably at least, I'm going to guess, the last two decades or longer, in which we get to pick and choose everything. When it comes to our cars, all we have to do is kind of plug into our computer and say, I want this, 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 and so we get the color, we get the accessories. I had a large order at In-N-Out the other day, and the girl standing in front of me, and man, she just plugged it all into the computer. More pickles, no cheese, no ketchup, yes, ketchup. And, you know, and the whole thing was right there in front of her, and she got it exactly right. We're a generation, we're a people that are very picky and like to choose and say and handle our own situations. That's not acceptable to God when it comes to his truth. Gee, God, I like what you're saying here. I can say amen to that, like the religious leaders did. But then over here, I'm not so sure, Lord, that that's accurate. Whoa, who are you? You know, we need to look very clearly and understand. We need to continue. God calls us to do that in the whole truth that is found in Christ. But also there's continuance and nothing but the truth. If you abide in my word, he says, the human tendency is to cease in the arena of abiding. You want to do a study sometime, that's a great word to study. But we come to receive Christ, and then all at once we go into a neutral mode, and we just coast. I'm thankful for our children's orientation baptismal class. I'm thankful that if our children come to Sunday school, Awana, and music, they're going to continue to learn the great truths of God's word. But we as adults must do the same thing. Let me just a word of encouragement to our adult Bible study classes. You're there for a Bible study class. Don't make it a fellowship time. Make it a pure Bible study time for your life. We need those times. We cannot get too much truth from the Bible. God's called us to know the truth. And what will the truth do? It set us free. And we'll look at that in just a moment. Just know that truth is the objective apprehension of the relationship or the revelation of Christ as distinguished from human speculations distorted by desires and special interest. Christ and Christ alone stands as that truth for our life. We are to be guided wholly by the Word of God, governed by the Spirit of God in all matters of faith and practice. Just know that we are never going to go back. Those of us have been around a little bit longer than others. We're never going to go back to the 40s, 50s, not even the 60s. But now we're realizing We're not even going to go back to the 80s and 90s, which a lot more of you were born during that time. It's a different world today. There is a freedom from religion group, atheistic group, in our nation that would love to silence the pulpits of this land. And you and I have got to decide, are we going to sit around and let them go through all the courts? Boy, I tell you, I love these Christian attorneys that are taking a bold stand. You're familiar with them, and trust that you pray for them and know that God is using them. But if the freedom from religion had its way, Pastor Greg or myself could not preach from this pulpit the moral issues of God's word. I don't believe that we need to be telling you how to vote on candidates, but we do need to reveal God's truth from his word and hold boldly to that. And so, continuance in the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Next, we look at obedience to the word of truth. Willingness to do God's will is a secret of progressive knowledge in human things. One is written, light obeyed brings light. Light rejected brings night. So obedience is such a key issue. God accepts no substitute for obedience. Hopefully you do not. As a parent, you require obedience of your children so that they can handle all of life's situations and challenges. But first of all, they must be obedient. There must be obedience of mind. Paul speaks of bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5. See, we're responsible for every action, every thought, every word, and God says, let's bring it all in obedience to Christ. God may dwell in us richly, and all wisdom is what the word has to say. Paul exhorted Timothy, give attention, Timothy, to the reading of God's word. Now, we need to take that a step further as you look at the real meaning of what's being said here. Paul encouraged new believers to read the word. He encouraged Timothy to do that. But it's not just the reading. It's also the searching. That's where it gets even more exciting as you search the word of God and look for all the truths found therein. One writer wrote this definite, search is in the imperative mode. That is to say, our Lord was insisting that we find the Savior men must search for. They will find him in the Scriptures. This, be real careful here. Somebody can say, well, God has revealed this to me, God this, God that, and bring him back. You ought to have a biblical base for your salvation experience. If all you can say that, well, one day God just made me feel all warm and tingly, and I said yes to him, and everything's okay now. I'm not sure everything's okay. You'll get attacked up one side and down the other because that has no substance to it. But if you can come back to the Word of God and say, here's what God's word says in John 3:16. Here's what his word says in Romans 10. And you accept that truth and you take it into your life. You study it. You don't just read it, but you research it and come to understand the depth of this great book and most of all the God that it reveals to us. But along with the readings, searching is so vital, but obedience is required in the journey. Write down 1 Corinthians 2:9 through 11. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So that's why it's so vital in our life that we understand the receiving of God's Spirit upon the point of putting our faith in him. Next, there must be obedience of heart. Romans, the 6th chapter. I just underline a couple of verses here. It says in verse 16, do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Listen, I'd much more rather be a slave of righteousness than of sin. Sin will doom you every time. But there's just another journey that you can go down, is start studying the word righteousness. All the laws that we could keep will not make us righteous. My righteousness is in the person of Jesus Christ. He alone is righteous, and he has imparted that to me when I put my faith and my trust in him. Well, there must be obedience also regarding the heart, regarding the mind. James 1:21, find these words. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. There's nothing, a lot of you know a lot more scripture than you give yourself credit for. A lot of these scriptures I've shared, you have grown up with them or you've heard them in Sunday school. It's just saying, God, help me to digest them, research them, and know them, and take them into my life and live them. Finally, there must be the obedience of will. The cross represents the fulfillment of God's redemptive purpose for every life. Aren't you thankful that Jesus said yes to the Father, I will go to the cross and give my life. I will pay the price for the sins of all human beings. That doesn't mean all are saved. It means that all who put their faith and trust in him will become righteous. Finally, experience the word of truth. The truth shall make you free. Wow. And we had an emphasis for a long time of people wanting to be free. Being a youth pastor in the 60s, that was a big focus with the whole hippie movement and just wanting not to be responsible for any laws, any rules, any regulations, but to be totally free. Well, the people that Jesus was teaching and talking to, they didn't want to acknowledge that they were enslaved. They were, first of all, enslaved to Rome, but they wouldn't acknowledge that. They claimed religious freedom. Instead of, they were slaves to the letter of the law. They were slaves to sin because their moral life was just upside down. So the three issues here. First of all, there's personal freedom. If the Son makes you free, in other words, Jesus makes you free, then you shall be free indeed, 8:36. Sometimes the tragic thing is the voice of our neighbors, the voice of our friends or our family members outdrowned the voice of God. Be careful. Know that God is the most important voice for you to listen to. Now, certainly God uses our parents in that journey in a very, very important role. So the reformers, one of the reformers said this, he said, all the world is against you. To which one replied, then I am against the world. We're moving to more and more of the extremists being totally against us, even to the degree of annihilating Jews, Christians, whatever group they want to include in there that they don't like. Then may we, whatever the cost, take the stand for God's truth. The epitaph on the tomb of John Knox reads this way, here lies the man who never feared the face of clay. Never feared the face of clay. Number two, there's literal freedom. The truth shall make you free. The divine law without the divine life is bondage. The word of God without the spirit of God is slavery. But when the truth is obeyed in mind, heart, and will, then we are set free to live the Christian life. Then finally, spiritual freedom. The spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8, verse 2. So through the Son of God and by the Word of God and in the power of the Spirit of God, we can rise to the occasion and be found faithful and true to the Word of God. I ask you to search your heart this morning and look at your belief area. Do you just feel good at times because you agree with whoever's behind this pulpit, primarily Pastor Greg, in which you would agree with his words and with the scriptures that he quotes? Or is there a sense, wow, I hear the word of God. I'm convicted that I need a Savior because I'm a sinner. And so I don't want to just casually believe or partially believe. I want to believe in him, in Christ, and follow him all through the journey of life. Let me ask you to take some time this afternoon. I know there's a lot on your schedule, I'm sure, but go home. If you've got a lot of time, then read Romans 6, 7, and 8. If you don't have as much time, then read just Romans 8. Read all 39 verses and let God just permeate your life and bless you and encourage you. It's a tremendous chapter, and when you look at it, it's called Deliverance from Bondage, and it closes out that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you this morning for the richness of these scriptures, and Lord, help us to so live in these days that we'll be bold in praying for one another around this globe. We'll take a stand for the truth, and God, will do it with compassion, with love, with firmness, with conviction. And pray, God, that if there's one here this morning that has just fallen kind of in the trap of believing here and there, but never fully receiving Christ into their life, may this be that day of salvation for them. For those, Father, who have started coasting and have ceased to read and research your word and grow in that word, may they come back to the importance of discipleship in their life and taking personal responsibility for becoming all that you called them to become in Christ. Lord, what a privilege it is to live in this nation with the freedoms we enjoy. But if we do not take stands, we'll see those freedoms continue to be eroded. And so we thank you for the opportunity you give us. May we stand boldly in love with a confident assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Have your will and way now in every child's life, every teenager, every young adult, every adult's life. May we put you first in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing this morning. If you'd like to come for prayer with somebody else at the prayer rail, you're welcome to do that, or any other decisions God's put on your heart.